Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
I found a way. I can stand on this stair, and I found a way to grow taller. That's kind of a miracle. The miracle of the girl, since we're teaching on miracles, the girl who grew taller a little bit. Yeah, you know, we might switch it for an even taller one. That's an even greater, one of those greater miracles. Greater miracles. Oh, this one's adjustable. Yeah, this is the one that was made for me, was specially made for me by Miriam's husband before he went home to be with Jesus. Well, welcome again, and especially, Luann, we are so glad that you can walk. We are so glad. Luann lives in a house that was right next to the house that I grew up in. My friend Gail used to live there, and Luann bought that house. Yeah, small world, isn't it? And Sandra, welcome back. For those of you who don't know, Sandra had fallen off her porch, collapsed beneath her. She was in ICU and very critical, and here she is because we serve a mighty God, a miracle-working God. Yes, we do. And tonight, I'm going to teach on the miracle of Jesus feeding a multitude of people. You might hear some things you did not know before you entered the building tonight, and there's some trivia involved, there's a little humor involved, and a lot of different stuff. But I am really excited about the miracles that Jesus did. I love to teach on miracles. My favorite miracles are actually those that Jesus Christ himself performed when he walked this earth. But there's a reason, a specific reason why I love to talk on the miracles of Jesus, and this is the reason, John 14:12. For verily, verily, I say unto you, Frida, Tony, Sandra, Janice, Emmy, Willie, Anna, Alan, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works then these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now, I want to begin by saying, a lot of people question the word that, how are you going to do greater works than Jesus did? And you're not, unless you raise the dead. It does not mean better works. It means more works, not better works. Greater doesn't mean better. It means more. So, we're going to do more because he goes to the Father. And I want to begin by saying that this miracle, some people call it the feeding of the 5,000. Others call it the multiplication of the five loaves and two fish. But I'm going to call it the miracle of Jesus feeding a multitude. And I want to begin by just a piece of trivia is that people call it the fishes. By the way, just this is trivia. There's no such thing as the word fishes. It's not grammatically correct. The plural of fish is fish. There were many fish in the sea, not there were many fishes in the sea. Although Webster's will allow us to use it as slang, fishes is something that a person do. The man fishes. So there's your trivia. So if you're calling them fishes, they're not. They're fish. So we're going to talk about the miracle of the multiplication of the fish. So the second thing I want to say is that on that day, as we begin this teaching tonight and really get into this, there were so many more than 5,000. That's why I don't choose to call it the miracle of the 5,000, because there were so many more than 5,000. And if you turn in your Bibles, you don't have to do it now. I'm going to give you the verse. Matthew 14:21 says, there were 5,000 men besides women and children. And the same thing, by the way, let me point this out. When Jesus multiplied the 4,000, he fed the 4,000 people on another occasion. It also says in the Bible, 4,000 plus men plus women and children. So This is not the miracle feeding of the 5,000 or the 4,000. It's the feeding of multitudes of people. The estimate on the feeding of the 5,000 is actually 20,000 people. That's a conservative estimate. And let me tell you why. Because they had many, many children in those days. That's why it's a conservative estimate. There are occasions where people in the Bible, the patriarchs and people had 20, 30 children. This is a conservative estimate. 20,000 people plus may have been fed that day. Of course, we don't have an exact. The same thing on the 4,000, the conservative estimate is 18,000 plus. So that's, we don't have an exact count, and we don't need it. Now, the first thing that I want to share with you tonight is something that blesses me as I studied this. Why are there two, why did, I'm not going to say waste time because the Bible doesn't waste any kind of time, but why was it necessary to record two miracles of almost the exact same thing, multitude? We've already know that Jesus can feed the multitudes, correct? If you've heard it once, you know that he's capable of doing that. Why would you have to see it a second time? And there's many, many reasons for that, and I'm going to share a couple with you. First of all, there's some differences between these two miracles. And number one is, let's talk about this. What is the major difference in this? And I'm going to give it to you just like this. Location, location, location. That's what's different about these two miracles. But there's a reason that location, location, location is important. Number one, the miracle of the 5,000 took place near Bethesda by the Sea of Galilee. The miracle of the 4,000 took place in the region of the Gerasenes near Decapolis. Why on earth does this matter? And why would it matter to you and I today? Why would it matter to you and I today? Well, let me help you out. This is the answer. It shows the love of Christ for all mankind because the miracle of the 5,000 by the Sea of Galilee were Jewish people, God's people. The miracle near Decapolis at the Gerasenes were all Gentile people. This lesson is that Jesus feeds all of us. Jews, Gentiles, there's no discrepancy between race, sex, gender, nothing, age. He fed men, he fed women, he fed children, he fed God's people, he fed, and all. He proved in this feeding of the 4,000 and the 5,000 that we are all God's people, that we are all the same. And that is why it is so, so powerful that Jesus is no respecter of persons. That means that salvation, deliverance, healing, provision, protection, and all of the benefits provided through the cross of the covenant are for all who will receive from Christ, from Jesus. And I want to tell you something else about this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. This is the only miracle that is recorded in all four of the Gospels besides the resurrection of Christ is recorded in all four Gospels. What does that say to us? It's very important that we study this. And as I have shared before, if anything in the Word of God, let's take a miracle for example. If it is recorded in one gospel, you better study that upside and down and right side up because that's all the information you're going to get. And like in John 19, it's going to be very, very intense. So you're going to get it all. But if it's recorded in three Gospels, you better not say, well, I'll read it in Luke, but I probably don't need Matthew. You're going to do yourself a great disservice, and let me tell you why. Because you're going to miss something. There's a reason it's recorded. These are different writers who have different little words from the Holy Spirit. And they're all true. So you're going to miss a truth, and something that you may need might be in one of those other Gospels. So this one is found in all four Gospels, and I would suggest that you study all four Gospels to get it. But I'm going to help you out a little bit. I've already done some of the study and give you the differences. And one of them was that there's a reason for that, Jewish and Gentile audience. Also, I want to talk about the difference between the five loaves and the two fishes. And in the miracle of the 4,000, we have seven loaves. Why all of a sudden Are there 7 loaves? Let me help you out with that. 7 days a week, Jesus feeds us. There's bread for every day. There's a loaf for every day is what Jesus is telling us here. 7. There were 7 loaves. He gives us our daily bread. Our Father who art in heaven, he gives us our daily bread. That's why the 7. And there are so many differences between these miracles that we can't hit them all tonight. But this teaches us so many valuable lessons. Number one, Jesus has compassion for everyone. He has compassion for Jews and Gentiles, and he has compassion for the young and the old and the men and the women. He just is a God of compassion, and he cares about that we have food. So many people today don't have food. You know, we need to care like Jesus cared because we represent Christ, and so that's part of our responsibility, but we see that Jesus is our provider. Jesus is our source for everything we have or ever will have. And God, I see something else. I see that when God provides, he never does the minimum. You know, sometimes we just want to do the minimum. I just want to do what I have to, God. I just, you know, maybe you'll get 10% out of me, squeaking. Maybe I'll kind of sort of love my neighbor, kind of try, give it a shot. But Jesus never does the minimum. He is not the God of almost enough. He is not the God of just enough. He is the God of more than enough. So I have a question. Why is God the God of more than enough? Why does God do this? Why is God an extravagant God? It is because he's going to give us more than enough so that we will then distribute, and I'm going to show you this in this miracle tonight, so that we will then distribute the excess and the overabundance that he has given to us to those around us who have lack in their lives or who have a need, thereby showing the love of Christ, the compassion of Christ to them. That's why he's given you more than enough, not so that you can bank millions and millions and millions of dollars, okay? So God is the God of more than enough. He is a generous God, and we should be also. In providing this food in a miraculous way, Jesus was letting us know that he is our source. He is the source of all of our need. He cares about every meal you sit down to eat. These people were hungry. Why didn't he tell them just fast for the day? It's not going to kill you, people. He didn't say that, did he? He wanted them to get fed. And we forget that our God is a miracle-working God. In fact, I won't elaborate tonight, but just after this miracle, and right after this miracle, in fact, of Jesus feeding the 5,000 plus, the disciples actually encountered a great storm, and the Bible says this about that situation, said they became fearful. They became very distraught. And here's what Jesus said about it. He said, they considered not the miracle of the loaves and the fishes because their hearts were hardened. Now, when it says their hearts were hardened, it didn't mean a hard heart like you and I think. It meant their hearts were dull. Their hearts were dull. They just didn't get it. He just did this miracle, and here we are in a storm. So I want to tell you that we can't let ourselves grow dull. Just because we've had one miracle, the next time we can't just get all crazy and upset. We have to trust him. The same God who did that, he's probably able to do this, wouldn't you say? I would say absolutely, 100%. Somebody who can feed 20,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, I'm just betting they can feed you when you're having hard times and cutbacks and during COVID, right? And I want to tell you something else. Did you know that John is the only writer? Now, this is what I'm talking about, where we have to study all 4 of the Gospels if it's in there. Because John happens to be the only writer that tells us where they got the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You could have gone all your life just thinking there were 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The others mentioned the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but John gets the prize tonight. because he tells us where the five loaves and two fishes came from, or your little Bible story book, your little kid's book, wouldn't have even told it. You wouldn't know. Let's read John 6:8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who hath five barley loaves and two small fish, but what are they among so many?" Okay, we just got ourselves some more information. This contains even more information than the other writers give. Not only do we now know where, voila, we know what kind of bread it was. It was barley loaf. Thank you, John, for giving us some information. I love stuff like that, by the way. When you have to research the word to get it out, God wants you to discover it. He wants you to mine his word for the greater truth, to dig deeper in his word. And so now we know that a young lad, which is someone who is not 18 yet, he gave the loaves. It came from him, and no name, by the way, came from him, and they were barley loaves. And we also know something else. No longer do we know that there were five loaves and two fish. We now know something else. They were two small fish. They were barley loaves. They were given by a small lad, and they are small fish. These are not huge. Now, why does it matter that they were two small fish? Because some fish out in the ocean can feed hundreds of people. They're huge fish. They could feed hundreds of people. But this is specifically small fish. So do you see how we can, this food would feed about two people. These five loaves and these two fish, this is basically a two-for-one McDonald's Filet-O-Fish special. That's what it is. It's a Filet-O-Fish special. It's between two pieces of bread. It's some fish. That's what it is. It would feed two people, not 2,000, and certainly not 5,000, and certainly, absolutely not 20,000 people. So I love that we see different things in God's word, that these writers gave us so much. So let's get into the story, and let me tell you it real quick from Luke. This is what Luke says in Luke 9:12-13. "And when the day began to wear away," it's evening, if I have to spell it out, "then came the 12 and said to him, 'Send the multitude away so that they can go into the towns and country round about and lodge,'" so they go get a hotel room, "'and get food for themselves. For here we are in a desert place." Okay, in a desert place, there's not a lot of food, is there? "But he said to them, 'Give you them to eat.' And they said, 'We have no more but five loaves and two fishes, unless we should go and buy meat for all this people.'" Now, here's a little more background information. John the Baptist had just been beheaded. They were grieving one of their own. And in the Gospel of Mark, we see that we're going to see in a second, they were weary, they were tired, and they were something else, they were hungry. And this is important, and I'm going to tell you why. There are going to be times in your life when you're struggling with your own stuff. When you just went to a funeral, you just had some hard times, you're at a dry place in your life, and you're struggling with your own sorrows, but God is still going to stretch you and use you. We must be willing to minister at a time when it was inconvenient, and this is why. Because Jesus went to the cross, and that was quite inconvenient. It was inconvenient. Wasn't a good time to do that, was it? There is no good time to do that. It was love. It was the unselfish love of Christ. And so there's going to be times when you and I are called upon at our lowest point to minister to somebody else who is at their lowest, lowest point. Mark 6:31, Jesus, and he said to them, this is Jesus, "Come you yourselves apart into a desert place and rest for a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure as much as to eat." I did not say they were tired. Jesus said it. He said they needed rest. And Jesus said, this is Jesus talking, They had no time to eat, no leisure, no occasion to eat is what that word leisure means. They had no stopping point, no resting point, no occasion to eat. So when Jesus telling us this, we now know that they had not even eaten themselves, and here they are called upon to feed other people. Sometimes there's someone else who has a greater need, and they need to eat before you eat, even if you're hungry. The baby needs to be fed. You may be hungry too. You may be tired too, but the baby needs to be fed. We need to be prepared to serve others and put our own hunger and our own problems aside many, many times, or it's likely that we will never feed no one or do anything, because there is no perfect, convenient time to do the work of Jesus. The time is just now. It's just now. But now the disciples speak out in verse 36. Here's their response to that. Send them away so that they may go into the country around about and into the town, and they can buy themselves bread, do it themselves, for they have nothing to eat. But the last time I checked in the Word of God, Jesus said these words, feed my sheep, not send my sheep away. Jesus said, feed my sheep. He did not say, send the sheep away. Jesus answered their send them away plan with this. He said to them, you give them, this second time, by the way, you give them to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 2 pennies worth of bread and give them to eat? And he said to them, well, how many loaves do you have? Go and check. And when they said 5 loaves, they said 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, I want to show you something from John's gospel that hit me as super, super funny. This I love, by the way. I was sitting upstairs today, and I was just laughing to myself. This is John 6, 5 to 9. Sometimes Jesus just picked out a disciple and decided to test that disciple. So then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he saw all the multitude, the great company, come to him. And he said to Philip, he's going to pick on Philip a little bit. Where shall we buy that these may eat? This is really funny. Poor Philip. I can imagine Philip going, there are multitudes of people here. You're Jesus, and you turn to me and go, you're laying this responsibility on me. You're asking me, Philip. You're Jesus, I'm Philip. I can just imagine, he probably thought, are you serious? I can't feed these people. We are in the middle of a desert situation here. We have multitudes of people. We can't feed them. You already know what we have. We have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I mean, I can't imagine. And that's the kind of disciples we are. Sometimes we get in that desert situation, right? And we're going to need Jesus because we can't do it ourselves. This is a little test for Philip here. Are you in a desert place? Are you in a dry place? Maybe you're hungry tonight. I'm asking you to think about that when you go home. If you're hungry, if you're tired, if you've lost someone, if you're in a desert place, Jesus is still your provider. And he still requires that we help others, even in the middle of the hardest of our situations. And verse 6 says, and he did this to test Philip, for he already knew himself what he would do. I love that. I just was testing you, Philip. That's all I was doing was testing you. But I can imagine what was going through Philip's head. You're asking me. And Philip answered to him, which I think is funny, 200 penny worth of bread is not enough for them. You think, Philip? You think you got it? Philip did the math in his head real quick. He did it real quick. 200 penny worth of bread is not enough for them, and that every one of them would take a little. Philip's thinking, now if we all gave a little to someone, even if they could. So what Philip is basically saying is, even if we could buy enough food, first of all, the money that we have, the penny worth, is not sufficient. And the fish and bread, that's not sufficient either. We just don't have what it takes. Philip is good at math. He's good at math. I give him high marks. He's already got this whole thing figured out. They can't even have a bite of food. I'm sorry. We just can't. And there's going to come a time in our lives, in your life. There's going to come a time in my life when we don't have enough money to meet the need. And we don't have enough food. Jesus is the answer for the not enough. He's the more than enough. And after this little lad had surrendered his 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, Jesus told the disciples to manage the crowd and make them sit down. In verse 11, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and then the disciples to them who sat down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they would. As much as they wanted to eat, they just kept distributing. My thoughts on this are, give your little to Jesus. If you have a little, give your little. Give him every bit of it. Stop saying you can't give. What we mean when we say that is, I won't give. You are commanded to give your tithe into the house where you are served. Not 50 different ways, not 50 different places, to the local church where God has planted you. You are commanded to trust God for your finances, for your bread, for your water, for all of your need, in obedience to God. And if you will give him what is required of him, what will he do for you? Because that's obedience. That's bringing into the storehouse. He's going to be multiplying it. When we stop doing what we're supposed to do, we're saying, I don't trust you, God. I don't trust you. And Jesus gave thanks for the loaves and the fishes. So let me ask a question tonight. Are you and I willing to give thanks for the small that we already have? For our not enough situation? God, I thank you. I don't have enough, but I thank you for my not enough. Can we trust him to multiply it? Can we trust him to make that paycheck stretch? And if I can't thank him now, I will never appreciate the miracle that he does. I will not be able to appreciate the miracle, the great miracle, until I am thankful for the small miracle that he did. And another lesson we learned from this is Jesus gave to the disciples, remember? But what did he ask the disciples to do? You go give it to someone else. So here's the lesson. Jesus has given all of us so much, so much. What is our responsibility? To give to the multitudes, to give to those that are hungry. And this is spiritual, physical, all of it. And so we have to thank him for our little not enough, trust him to add the increase. And then when God does give the increase, we have to distribute it. We become distributors. I love something that my dad said many, many years ago. He said, as you're obedient to God, he was telling people about tithing into this church in particular. He said, as you are obedient to tithe, he said, God is going to raise up people that I'm going to call, he said, paymasters. And I have seen God out of this church raise up people that are able to be paymasters to other people and increase it. And I always thought that was a cool term. I don't know where Dad got that term, paymaster. But it's kind of paying and representing the master in my way of thinking. So Jesus gave to his disciples, and then the disciples distributed to others, and there was so much. He's given so much to each and every one of us. But there's something else. I love that Jesus, when he gave thanks, he also did something else. While he was giving thanks, he looked up to heaven. It's time for us to stop looking at our small loaves and fishes. It's time for us to look up to heaven. Get your eyes off of the little and look up to heaven for the rain of heaven, because if he has to, he will pour manna down from heaven. You can look up to heaven and he will pour it down from heaven if necessary. So we don't need to worry about the concerns of our life and get our eyes on what is less, what we think is a little. Jesus sees it as a lot, as seed faith. And, you know, I love that he gave thanks. And so it's time for us to look up to heaven and give thanks, because I want to say it like this. The grocery store is not your provider. And let me tell you what, you know, we used to talk about the sales and where to go, and that's a good thing to use wisdom. But it's only been 2 years ago since during COVID, the grocery store proved to us that they are no longer our provider. They cannot provide us with toilet paper all of a sudden. They cannot provide us with milk all of a sudden and meat and disinfectant and bleach and the things that we needed. But guess who provided for us? Jesus provided for us, and he saw us through what was for so many a lean time. And part of the reason he saw us through a lean time was because we became distributors, because we would come here and people would come here for toilet paper and bleach and food and different things. And we were able to do those things. And so many people did that. And in this miracle, we see that all of the people were fed. And this is such a powerful, powerful lesson to us. No one that day went away hungry. And in God's kingdom, no one needs to go away hungry that comes for bread. No one. We should be able to give them all bread. Verse 12 says this, and I'm going to ask our praise team to get ready. We're going to continue on some miracles next week. And I actually have I'll go ahead and say this before I do my final lesson here. Next week, God has put it on my heart to do a message called When You Have Nothing Left to Lose. You know, it's a game changer. When you've already lost everything, you know, you might as well step out in faith. You might as well be obedient to God and do. Sometimes when people say, I hit rock bottom. This is what I like to say. When you're at the bottom, he's the rock at the bottom. And that's a good place to start. It's okay to hit rock bottom because Jesus is there, because he will lift you up when you're out of the pit. There ain't no way to get out of the pit when you're alone in the pit except for Jesus to lift you up out of the pit. That's how you get. You can't get out of the prison. You can't drop the charges, but Jesus can. And if he has to, you can praise your way out like Paul and Silas. You can sing your way through it. You know, when we do that, that's a sacrifice. That's an offering. It's not really a time to sing because I don't feel like singing, but it's always appropriate to praise Jesus. I'm not saying you praise him for the problem, but here's what he says, in everything give thanks. Not for everything, in everything. In the pit, I can give him thanks. Am I thankful for the pit? No, I'm not thankful for the pit. I am in the pit, and I am thankful for God who will lift me out. And so verse 12 says this, when they were filled, he said, now I love this word filled. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up. Fill them up. Fill us to overflowing. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments. Wow. 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 There's leftover. Leftover. It's okay to eat leftovers. My mom says, don't let anything go to waste. Let's just eat it. We're going to eat leftovers again. And you know what? He said, gather it up. And he said this, just like mom, this is your verse, mom. He says, gather up so that nothing will be lost. We don't lose anything. We need to use every blessing that God gives us is for us to consume. It's for us to consume. Don't waste any of the blessing of God. Do not waste the blessing of God. Don't throw it in the trash. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves that we know are barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them who had eaten. After they were all filled, they still have all of this left. And the 12 baskets represents the 12 tribes of which all of us come from. God will provide for everyone who has ever been born. Every one. Because he is our provider. And so we're going to worship him tonight because Willie's going to lead us in worship because he is worthy for us to sing unto the Lord no matter what our situation tonight. Give him your little, look up to the heavens, and he's going to multiply it.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.